Well, good morning, church. Are you hearing me? Am I on? Got enough noise? There we go. Are we coming around a little better? Yeah. Thank you, Julie. It's always interesting when you're the one who is getting the message and you hope you've heard from God, and it's really awesome when you hear that. Usually the devotion, it just fits right in. And again, this morning, you know, God's loving kindness is better than life, the song says. So we're going to be talking about not only His loving kindness today, but being doers of the word instead of just hearers only. So we're going to be ending up in James today. Most of you know the verse. James 1:22 says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says." So we can't just be hearers of the word. We have to be doers of the word. We have to be servants of Jesus Christ. And I guess I better get this tucked around where it stays put. It's kind of wobbling all over today. And I don't think my ears moved, but it felt like they were moving. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we start today. Father, I thank you for our time together today. It's just good to be in your house, good to be in your presence, Father. And Father, I thank you for your unfailing love, your loving kindness, Father, that while we were still sinners, you died for us. Hallelujah. That you look at us differently than we look at each other. And Father, we just ask, Father, we'll be able to see each other through your eyes and not through our natural eyes. Father, as I bring the word this morning, I just pray that you, Father, that you'll be on my tongue, Father, that you'll speak for me today and that I'll not get in your way. Father, give us ears to hear what you're saying to the church today, in Jesus' name. Amen. So for an example, I've just recently had a workman's comp claim where I tore something in my shoulder and it didn't work, and I could not lift this right arm above my head at all because of something that tore in there. I didn't know if it was a rotator cuff or labrum tear or what it was. So I went and had an MRI done, and they discovered that it was a massive chronic tear, they called it. And so I went to the workman's comp doctor. I recommended that I go see a surgeon to see if they could fix it. When I went to see the surgeon, he said, "There's nothing there for me to fix." He said, "When you get tired of the pain, come back and I'll put you a new shoulder in." So I told Patsy, I said, "I'm not really interested in getting a new shoulder." So I said, "I'm going to see if I can get them to let me do therapy, see if I can fix it." Because the other times, I've had rotator cuff tears before. I've always fixed them with things that I do at home. All kinds of stuff that you do to strengthen your shoulder. And so I was able to talk the doctor into allowing me to do therapy. I said I'd like to go one time, have them give me a list of things that I can do at home. He said, "I think we can make that happen." So he asked me to do an appeal because a lot of times they don't want to do therapy because they know that therapy doesn't work. Therapy, they claim, will not fix a rotator cuff tear. But I believed God when he said that his body was broken for my healing. So I told the doctor, I said, "I'm not really interested in getting a new shoulder." I said, "I'd like to try the therapy." The therapist, when I went and talked to him, he said, "You're on the right track." He said, said, like a carpenter likes to use a hammer, he said, a surgeon likes to use a knife. Said they want to do surgery, but he didn't want to fix it. He didn't want to fix the tear. So if I had gone to the therapist, got the list, went home and put the list down and not done the therapy, my shoulder would still be in the shape that it was in the day that I tore it. But I went home and began to do the therapy. My shoulders are just about back as strong as they were, and that's been, what, 5 weeks, 6 weeks? So God is good. But I tell you this because if we hear the Word of God, we listen to it, we hear it, we read it, but we don't pay any attention to it, it doesn't do any good. If I had taken my therapy papers home and laid them down and not looked at them again, my shoulder would still be in the shape that it was in 6 weeks ago. So it's important that we listen to the Father and that we do what He says. Obedience is the key here. I want to start today in Matthew chapter 6 with the Lord's Prayer. There's a part in there that is just so important to our everyday life. Matthew chapter 6. It actually starts in verse 9. It says, "This then is how you should pray." If you would, just pray this prayer with me. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Hallelujah. The verse there that is so important is your will be done. That verse number 10 says, your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We have to pay attention to His will. And that's one of the reasons that I think it was a year ago that I started with a daily devotional thing that said, start every day with, help me, Holy Spirit. And I've been doing that ever since. And what a difference it makes. Because it gives you a consciousness of God in your life every day. It gives you a consciousness of what He's doing in your life as you go through the day. You pay attention more if you start your day out with that little simple statement, help me, Holy Spirit. And so I've been doing that, and what a difference it has made. Let's just flip over now to chapter 7. Of Matthew. I want to start today with the, where am I at? Verse 15. Tree and its fruit. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit you will recognize them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. So there's another important verse for us to remember today. Not just to hear the Lord, but to do what He says. Only he who does the will of my Father. It says, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? And I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. You all know this little story here. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. So you see again, if we don't pay attention to what we hear and do something with it, it does us no good. So since starting on Medicare, we get where we're to go to the doctor at the beginning of each year to get assessed to see how we're doing. We have a free wellness check, I guess is what they call it, to see how well we are. So if I go to the doctor and I'm, say I'm overweight, I'm maybe smoking, doing things that I shouldn't be doing, and he tells me that it's going to be important that I lose weight, it's going to be important that I quit smoking, that if I don't do any of these things to help my health, I hear him tell me these things, but if I don't do anything about it, it doesn't do any good. I've wasted my trip to the doctor, basically, if I don't do what the doctor tells me to do. And I'm really bad at that. I don't really like doing what the doctor's telling me to do now, but it's something I have to do. So, let's now go over to Luke. I want to look at the parable of the sower in Luke chapter 8. So all of you know the parable of the sower and what it's talking about. I'm not going to actually read the parable, but we're going to start at the end where Jesus starts explaining it. I want to begin in verse 8, the last part there of verse 8. It says, when he said this, so he had just told them of the parable of the sower, he called out and said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. His disciples asked him what this parable meant, and he said, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that though seeing, they may not see, though hearing, they may not understand. And I'm not sure why Jesus did that, why he spoke in parables and didn't want some people to understand what he was saying, but he did that. It says, this is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. So we all know how important the word of God is in our lives. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. So in both of these instances, we see where the enemy comes and deceives some, and others have no root, so that they fall away shortly after they have made a proclamation. Verse 14, the seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. So there's a lot of things in our lives that can choke out being doers of the word. It can choke out the things that just a lot of things that happen in our lives will choke out. And again, the enemy has a foothold into our lives, and we begin to lose heart. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart, who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. So it's important in our lives that we produce a crop, isn't it? I believe that's where I was. Oh, let's go on. So this next one is really good. So I want to just get a few more verses. We're going to go on down to 21. It says, no one lights a lamp and hides it in a jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, he puts it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light. There's nothing hidden that will not be disclosed and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have even what he thinks he has will be taken from him. So it's important that we let our lights shine. Been a few weeks since we sung that song, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Such a good song. It's one that most of us learned when we were going to Sunday school or Bible school when we were kids. But we've known it all of our lives. We have to let our lights shine. We have to be a light in the darkness. Now in verse 19 it says, Jesus' mother and brothers came to see him, but they were not able to get near him because of the crowd. Someone told him, your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to see you. He replied, my mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice. So we are his mother and brothers and sisters because we put his word into practice. We're going to finish up in James today in Revelation, but the majority of the text today was taken from James. I love James. It's just such a good book. He just does such a great job of encouraging the Christian and encouraging the church. So in James chapter 1, if you'll turn there with me, we're going to begin in verse 12. It says, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. When tempted, no one should say that God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone, but each one is tempted when, by his own evil desire, he is dragged away and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. So we get our birth and life through the word of truth. Going on in verse 19, it says, my dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. But do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror, and after looking at himself, he goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. Hallelujah. So do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Every day, Satan comes to deceive, doesn't he? In a lot of different ways. He'll come and give us worries, give us just all kinds of things to get us off track. And we have to know how to combat that. I had the privilege of teaching the youth class for Matt a couple of weeks ago. And I love that Owen came to me last week and asked for I had challenged the youth at that time to begin to read through the Bible every year. And Owen came to me last week. He said, "I need to talk to you." And he asked me for one of my little Bible reading charts so that he can read the word through. If I would have done that when I was his age, what a difference it would have made in my life. I was probably 40 years old until I began to really get into the Word of God, to really get in and study it and learn what it was about, learn what God was saying in His Word. And what a difference it made in my life when I began to spend time in it, began to spend daily time in the Word of God, because this is our life, guys. This word means life to all of us. And what an important part of our life. So you youth, you guys that are in school still, begin to take time, to begin to make time to spend in the Word of God. Because what a difference it'll make in your life as you go through life. Because you'll know God's Word. You'll know His will, because that's why He wrote this for us, so that we would know His will, so that we would know what He wants us to do each day. There's a lot of important decisions that we make every day that we need His help with. And as I look back at some of the decisions that I made in life that weren't very smart, I just realized that if I would have spent some time in prayer, asked the Lord about them before I made them, I wouldn't have had so many mistakes in my life. So begin your lives, begin your days with the Lord. Begin to walk with Him now that you're young. Just make that commitment to spend time with the Lord, to listen to His Word, and to do what it says. I want to finish up in Revelations chapter 22 today. The last verses that were written in the Bible have to do with doing God's will, with walking in His ways. And I want to begin here with verse 12 in Revelation 22. It says, "Behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may go through the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs, those who practice magic arts, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to you to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, 'Come,' and let him who hears say, 'Come.' Whoever is thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds anything to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes words away from this book of prophecy, God will take away from him his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. He who testifies to these things says, "Yes, I am coming soon." Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen. So this little part right here tells how important each word in this book is and how we can't take any of them away. We can't add anything to it. Only what God has written in his word. And I was reminded just now of my statement several weeks ago when I prayed, or when I brought the message that we're under authority to the government, but Patsy reminded me that I needed to tell you that anything that God says in his word outranks what the government says. So we're to listen to him above people that are in authority over us. So we ultimately answer to God, not to the government. So I just wanted to let you know that. She said I needed to make a, what did you call it? I had to do that. So if you'll remember that when I was talking about how the government has authority over us, we're to pay our taxes and those kind of things. But if it goes against God's word, then it's null and void because God's word takes precedence over everything that we do. So as you go this week, spend time in the word. Don't be a hearer only, but do what it says. It's life for us, guys. God's word is life for us. If there are any prayer needs today, we would love to pray with you. Do pray about men for missions and doing a mission trip, because I believe that that would be something that God will want some of us to do. So pray about that and get it figured out. If anybody has never accepted the Lord and you'd like to do that today, we'd love to pray with you for that as well. We never want to discourage anybody from walking with the Lord. So as the praise team comes for a final song, if any of you have a need, why come and we'll pray with you.